There's no excuse here. I'm not making excuse for what I have done, or what I've demanded of you, or how I've disciplined you, or the way I've spoken to you. I'm not apologizing at all. Everything I've done was for your edification. That's what I think, too. It's like, people have questioned some of the actions I've taken at times in life. I don't want to go into specifics. Against people. That would seem to be against them. Meaning, I've taken harsh actions against people at times. But in my mind, everything I've done is not by way of vindictiveness, but for their benefit. Because sometimes I think of like, well, I don't know how else to get through to them if they won't listen to words. You know, then there's other things you do. Verse 20, for I fear when I come, I shall find you. He's saying, I'm afraid when I come, I'm going to find you in a way that I would not want to find you. And that I might be towards you in such a way as you would not want me to be. I'm going to find you doing wickedness, and then I'm going to come, and we're going to have debates, quarrels, you know, envyings, zeal. There's godly zeal, and then there's not so good zeal. People are going to be angry. There's going to be intrigue. You know, strife is a intrigue properly. You know what I mean? Like subterfuge. Oh, you know, factions in the church. People whispering behind other people's backs. Backbitings, defamation. You know, whisperings is secret detection. Oh, Paul. Swellings. Like that. Inflation. Some people getting way too big for their britches. Tumults. Akatastasia. Instability. Disorder. Paul doesn't want these things to happen. But that's why he's writing in advance. To let them know. So that they can straighten it out before he gets there. Lest when I come again, my God will humble me among you. Well, and also, because he's been talking up the Corinthians to other people. Because he sincerely believed good of them. And certainly of part of them. And he's urging that part to make sure they dominate. And that righteousness abounds in that church. And he doesn't want to be humble and sad about those and bewail them which have already sinned and have not repented of the uncleanness and fornication, lasciviousness, you know, license. It's funny, I looked up lasciviousness in the Strong's and all that. And the word the definition he gave was licentiousness. Lasciviousness and licentiousness. Lasciviousness has to do with, the English word. You know, it has to do with the sort of consumptive, hedonistic, pleasure-seeking. And licentiousness is taking license. Licentiousness, I like it as a word because it describes a lot of Christianity today. They believe in God, they believe in Jesus, but they take license to sin. And their preachers preach license to sin. And they don't really repent because it's something that goes on day after day after day after day. And there are great Christian leaders filled with licentiousness, lasciviousness, fornication, and lust. When the grace of God which brings salvation is teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live righteously, soberly, and godly in this present world. So I don't understand. Where is the grace of God? There's two possibilities, that God's grace is not towards them, and also, or that they have let it go to slack, and they are not, you know, they failed at the grace of God. Or perhaps there's a time yet coming, you know, when they would be revived. I'm not a big revivalist at all. But such things are possible, no doubt. All things are possible through Him with whom we have to do.